Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. The verse starts out, the passage starts out, verse 5, let this mind be in you. That phrase, let this mind be in you, means to exercise the mind. It means to be mentally disposed. It means to interest oneself. And that word let also carries the idea of this is something we need to yield to. Okay? We need to yield so that we have this kind of a mind. What kind of a mind? Well, the mind that was also, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is our example we have. And the passage will go on to explain what kind of mind that is. What we have before us is a passage about the humility of our Savior. There's very good reason to believe that this passage of Scripture, verses 5 through 11, was actually a hymn that the early church sang. But when we think of this for a moment, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Turn with me for a moment to Matthew 11. And in Matthew 11, we have these very familiar passages in verse 28 to 30, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What is the next phrase? For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Paul tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what is that mind? It's a meek and lowly mind. And we're reminded of that in our passage. And in our passage, we learn three things this morning. And the first thing we learn is Christ's deity. Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When we think of deity, we think of God. And the fact that the Lord Jesus was God. And that phrase, the form of God, the form of, Paul here affirms that Christ eternally has been God. What we celebrate at Christmas time, the birth of the Lord Jesus, is not the beginning of the Lord Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism, that was not when he became God. For all of eternity, he always was God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. It's his deity. So Paul affirms this. And that phrase, the form of, in the Greek, is the Greek word morph. And it means nature. It means the unchanging character of something or someone. It's a continual state or condition. So Christ, it says here, who being in the form of God, for all of eternity past, the time that Paul wrote this, and for all of eternity forward, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, was and is God. And we're thankful for that. Turn ahead one book from Philippians. Just a page or two in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, the Bible says this, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, who by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist, or all things are held together. So the Lord Jesus is God. But it also says there, back in our text, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's an interesting phrase, but what it speaks about here is the equality of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In every sense, Jesus is equal with God. Therefore, he didn't think it was robbery to say that he was equal with God, because why? He was. Okay? And in every sense, Jesus is equal with God the Father. He even stated it often in the Gospels. One such place is John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, of course, we have the wonderful passage of Jesus being the good shepherd. And in verse 32, after he says in verse 30, I and the Father are one. And then what happens? The Jews take up stones to try to stone him. And Jesus says in verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou being a man, what's the last phrase? Makest thyself God. So did the Jews understand what Jesus was saying? They understood that he was saying he was God. Okay? And for liberal theologians today who write and tell us Jesus never said he was God, I don't know what Bible they're reading. Okay? The Jews understood perfectly. So it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. His attitude was not to cling to his pre-incarnate deity, but to lay it aside for a period of time. Okay? And that leads us to verse 7. Christ's deity in verse 6. In verse 7, Christ's humility. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Made himself of no reputation. This phrase in the Greek, the Greek word is kenosis, and it means to empty. And it's not that he ever stopped being God, because what does verse 6 again remind us? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's his deity. Okay? So he didn't stop being God. But for a period of time, he chose to veil his deity by taking on flesh with all of its limitations. Hark the herald angels sing, that great Wesley hymn that we sing at Christmas time. And one of the verses says, robed in flesh, the Godhead see. So there was a period of time that God the Son chose to dwell within a human body, and that body was none other than the body of the Lord Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Again, the Greek word here is morph. It's the same word in verse 6, form of God. Well, here we have form of a servant. And Jesus came. What does a servant do? A servant is a slave. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. So here is the Lord Jesus, who is God, who takes on flesh and even takes on the form of a servant. And it goes on in the verse to say, and was made in the likeness of men. Made in the likeness. This phrase means resemblance. And so to see Jesus when he was alive was to see any other man. Okay, I know in our art we a lot of times see Jesus and he has a halo around his head. Okay, that is not, you know, not what Jesus didn't walk around with a halo around his head. Okay, Pastor Andrew preached today about the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was a time when Jesus took on that pre-incarnate glory, and Peter, James, and John were able to see that. But he looked like any other Jewish man of the day, okay? And we're even told in Isaiah 53 that leading up to his crucifixion, he was so marred that he didn't even look like a man anymore. And men here, he took upon the likeness of men. And men here is the Greek word anthropos, from which we get anthropology. And it's a human being. Turn with me back a couple of books to Galatians chapter 4, when we think about God becoming a man. Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son," there's his deity, "made of a woman," there's his humanity, "made under the law," there's the fact that he's Jewish. So Jesus, God the Son, became a man. Turn ahead from Philippians a few books to Hebrews chapter 2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, the little book of Philemon, and then Hebrews chapter 2. If you get to James, you went too far. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, we read these words. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Why? "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." So why did Jesus become a man? So that he could die. Because God cannot die. So he became a man. And in order to do this, we see then in verse 8, Christ's humility. In order for God to become a man and to die for us, this required great humility. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was his mind? A humble mind. Whenever we get too high on our horse or high on our throne and we get thinking how important we are, this is a great passage to come to. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Notice his humility in verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Being found in fashion as a man. Why was he found in fashion as a man? It takes us back to verse 7, because he was a servant, okay? And in order to be a servant, he had to be a man, because God is not our servant. Because he is a servant, he humbled himself. Think about this, friends. Being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself. Think about this. After the humbling of deity taking on humanity, he further humbles himself to not only become a man, but to become a servant. Jesus didn't come, although he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time he came, he did not come as king. That is coming yet. He will come as king. But he came as a servant. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died as a criminal by the cross, the most cruel means of death. Galatians, if you turn back a couple of books, before Philippians is Ephesians, and then before that is Galatians. In chapter 3, verse 13, we read these words. Galatians 3:13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And this is a quote from Deuteronomy 21:23. Jesus did not demand rights as deity. And he also did not demand human rights. But he became an obedient servant, and he further humbles himself to the lowest form of death, death by crucifixion, reserved for the lowest of criminals. Who died to the right and left of him? Thieves. So friends, when you think of humility, think how Jesus came from heaven's throne all the way down to a cross of shame. Heaven's throne, God the Son, hearing the praises of angels every day, leaves that throne, leaves the glory of heaven to become a man. And if that wasn't humble enough, he becomes not only a man, but a servant. And if that isn't humble enough, he becomes a servant who was willing to die as a criminal on a cross. For who? For you and for me. Humility. Let this mind be in you.